What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Here I go.
Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
She hit the slay button.
Ride, shine, clocks at pussy time. Bust my pussy nut while I'm finger in your butt. Do I suck dick? You ain't seen shit. Throw in C note, what you slide down my throat. Yeah, my pussy fine, cause I pop it cause it's mine. I don't give a fuck if they call me a slut. What I do with dick? Elect me president. Put tears in his eyes when I milk a brother dry. Famous pride anthems by RuPaul Charles, if I do say so myself.
You know, there aren't many grounds that would make me want to, you know, I don't know, call the police or the FBI. But this is one of those moments where I think a line was crossed.
There's the, also yes, the lyrics. Have absolutely I'm going to keep working from dawn to dusk so I can keep buying cars off Elon Musk. The matte black really spinners. Now that's a must. But I want the whole pie, so leave the crust.
Yeah, the yes pills have reached the cerebellum or the corpus callosum. I don't know what. It has gone
ride,
too deep
shine, the clock said pussy time.
Now, you can probably tell our producer's not with us this episode.
Oh, no. So no, we
Jones
are.
Off the rails immediately.
We're off the leash, if you do say so myself.
These are the two wolves, right?
Remember what I told ya, get up. When RuPaul sang that, she was talking about the lyrics to Catitude.
You mean the lyrics to Catitude?
One of the queens, no, that's the, obviously you don't know RuPaul's deep discography.
Cause
that
I was listening to that song earlier today.
Opening line of Catwalk by RuPaul, which is a great song to
it is a great song. I was listening to it today while working out.
Remember what I told ya, get up.
It's a good beat. I like the beat.
It's great. It's a great song. But, you know, I want to just mention, by the way, to everybody that, yes, obviously we are watching RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7, Eleganza, Extravaganza, all winners,
all the time,
icons.
Everywhere, all at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're watching it. We will save our opinions for after it's over.
I'm very interested to see how this pans out.
I do want to just say, though, okay, everyone, please send us your top two winner possibilities. Mm. I actually do want to know. I will just say mine are obviously Jinx and Jada. Those who I think
exactly
are in the
what
lead.
I was going to
wait,
say.
Really?
Yeah, no, you exactly also what I was going to say. Absolutely. I mean, for like different reasons, of course. Like,
of
I think,
course.
I think Jada is a bit more all around, and I really think Jada deserves like more press than ever before because truly, like, COVID robbed everyone that season.
Yeah.
But she's also like, she really does, like, she can do it all, honestly. But I think Jinx is just so fucking good at improv.
I think
and
Jinx
acting.
Is
it's
the.
It's insane.
I think Jinx is the obvious front runner.
Yeah.
And I think Jada is the redemption arc front runner.
That's, there it is. That's exactly what it is.
And
yeah.
The third possibility slot that I think is farther below Jada, but still a contender at this point, is Raja, who could also get the redemption arc.
Yeah.
Not necessarily redemption, but like legend status solidified.
I'm sure you were listening to the latest of Very That, and they were talking about Delta was kind of asking, like, do you think you would have been eliminated early if they like didn't keep everybody on? And Raja was basically saying, like, yeah, the first few episodes especially, I was like very concerned because I was winning but not winning. Like, I was doing well but not like getting this legendary legend star. And they even kind of hinted, like, obviously things just kind of turned recently. So I think you're right. I think we're talking before, but like, if the next few episodes are Raja constantly in the top, it's gonna be.
And I actually said this to you that I thought that, like, I said this to you in episode two that they were gonna do the thing with Raja where she's like in the bottom, not in the bottom, but like robbed of wins
for
the first few
episodes or something.
And then in the middle of the competition, it was gonna flip and she was gonna start steamrolling. But I still think that Jinx is the obvious winner and Jada is the dark horse. Redemption arc winner.
Yeah.
I really strongly believe that, but I want to hear what everyone else thinks. And don't just say it because you think that's what we want to hear. Like, I really want to your genuine, honest opinion.
Yeah.
Please
and what's
tell us.
Your pick? Because we know the show doesn't always pick the right person.
Of
so,
course.
Yeah.
So we have some things. Click
this is for,
okay.
Yeah. What is this?
Okay. I'm just going to wait. Don't click it just yet.
Okay.
Don't click this yet. I'm going to read
hands
the
off,
tweet
hands
to you.
Off the trackpad.
So this is about the new Chucky season two.
Oh. I forgot they did a season one that even exists.
I want you to guess who the surprise guest star is on this season of Chucky. Chucky season 2. Now, remember, Jennifer Tilly is the star.
Sutton. I knew because I know they're BFFs.
Oh, you didn't see it, though.
No, I did not
click
see it, though.
This
Am
photo-
I right?
Click to see this photo of
you look like I'm
Gina
right.
Gershon and Sutton Strachey.
Okay, but Sutton in like in this yellow, like
in this like fashion outfit, like, I was gooped and gagged. And then there's Gina Gershon in the background in a suit and a tie, like
kinda hiding, you know, kind of hiding a little bit.
With her like smug face. Oh God, really, Queen of Riverdale, Queen of being Jughead's mom on Riverdale.
Oh my God, her amazing like villain arc, so good.
Oh my God,
and then Tilly just like in, you know, just some nice
is that Jennifer
jeans.
Tilly?
All the way on the right?
Is that her?
Yes.
She's blonde in that photo, so because usually
she's
she has
been blonde
darker
for a
hair.
While, I think.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's tough.
But
her.
Dude, what?
But I remember them being BFFs Sutton, and being shocked as hell.
Sutton is going to be on Sci-Fi's hit network TV show Chucky.
Okay, the Chucky
think,
series
think,
are truly so
Do you
wild.
Think that Sutton is going to get killed? Obviously, right? Obviously.
Oh, she's definitely going to be like playing a housewife character.
But
and
why
then Chucky,
the fuck
like,
have they not brought Jennifer
on
Tilly on to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Because she's actually
Do you
like,
think that they've
it.
Approached her and she said no? Or do you think they haven't approached her at all?
Probably haven't approached her.
God,
I wish
that
they
sucks.
Would, though. They don't like having fun like that.
Well, speaking of people who will never be approached to be on The Housewives, but do think that one day they will, Kim Kardashian has permanently damaged Marilyn Monroe's dress
Girl,
at the Met Gala. We knew this was going to happen.
Like, the amount of people that were shocked about this, I was like, the evidence was very clear. Like, the second we saw that she was going to wear that, and then definitely once we saw her on the actual red carpet, I was like, oh, yeah, this is fucked. Like, this is damaged beyond repair.
So, in our Patreon Met Gala episode, we talked about how Kim wore that iconic Marilyn Monroe dress, the Happy Birthday, Mr. President dress specifically, to this year's rather confusing Met Gala. There was further controversy because at the time, like you remember us talking about, celebrities like Lily Reinhart criticized comments Kim had made at the event about losing 16 pounds just to show up and wear Marilyn's dress. Later in the evening, she even famously changed into a replica because of the fit issues. Basically, it didn't fit.
Because it was gonna rip
and she
off.
Was going to rip it. And so she changed into a replica that she had made because she couldn't even walk in it.
I mean, I would almost say she was. Ripping it wasn't like she was about to, like, she couldn't put
well,
it on, it was barely
holding. As we know now, she was ripping it.
Yeah.
So, a collector claims via News Factory Pop Crave that Kim visibly damaged the dress while wearing it. The account Pop Crave posted a comparison from just before the Met Gala and right after, in which the seams show visible buckling and numerous beatings and rhinestones are completely missing.
Oh,
as Page Six notes, Kim gave an interview to Vogue, which said, quote, I'm extremely respectful to the dress and what it means to American history.
No,
I would
not.
Never want to sit in it or eat in it or have any risk of damage to it, and I won't be wearing the kind of body makeup I usually do. In a statement at the time of the event, Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, which had the dress in its collection, said this of Kim. This was no easy decision for Ripley's. However, Kim has continued to show the utmost respect for this opportunity and historic garment. From extensive research to following guidelines such as no body makeup, only wearing this dress for the short red carpet appearance and making absolutely no alterations, she has become a steward and added to its history. Of course, the Daily Mail, as you pointed out, released the most just wild headline about this. Meghan McCain, Kim Kardashian's trashing of Marilyn Monroe's iconic dress shows that nothing is sacred when it comes to the pursuit of fame in our shallow culture, and she should have it paid to be
I love
repaired.
That parentheses, and she should have it prepared.
She done already done had hers. Oh God!
And there's nothing much in the article, obviously.
Yeah, of course. It's just
Meghan McCain
flailing for attention because her dead dad can't give it to her anymore. So,
and she's unfortunately right, at least in this.
Yes.
Nothing is indeed sacred.
Shout out to a different time in celebrity news when there would be a headline like, "What Kim Kardashian's." Destruction of Marilyn Monroe's legacy really says about American culture.
Okay, but like, it's just so annoying because like everyone is just like, it's just such easy fodder.
Can't wait for this to be a plot line on the show. Which I'm not gonna watch, by the way. I do want to point it out that it will absolutely.
Have you ever actually watched like an entire season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I have seen, I would say, 75% of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Definitely not the later parts, I'm sure.
I didn't really see the middle, but I saw all the later ones. Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen The Kardashians, which is the Hulu show. I haven't seen that.
Why would you?
I have no interest in it at all.
We can literally read what they're covering every single day, because that's all you'll get when you watch the show.
I don't need to see the news through like a triple bypass filter of like Chris's engineering. I could get it after
through
one layer.
Box,
like. I could get it through one layer of Brita filter. Like, I don't need it after
Chris's reverse osmosis.
Yeah, like, I don't need it machine. To see after the reverse osmosis filter. So, The Hollywood Reporter also had some more news for us this week. Now, people kind of freaked out about this, and there was some, like, back and forth about what this possibly means, and I kind of want to get into it. The Squid Game news. Did you hear this?
Netflix
has greenlit Squid Game as a reality show, obviously devoid of murder, with the biggest cash prize in TV history of $4.5 million for the winner. Netflix claims the payout is the largest lump sum cash prize in TV history, though Fox's X Factor has previously given out recording contracts worth $5 million, and that show likewise also sports the largest competition series cast ever assembled.
456 players? Jesus Christ.
Brandon Rieg, Netflix's VP of Unscripted and Documentary Series, said Squid Game took the world by storm with captivating story and iconic imagery. We're grateful for the support as we turn the fictional world into reality in this massive competition and social experiment.
Now that's the word.
It was made at a festival by the streamer's head of global TV, Bella Bajaria, during a panel moderated by The Hollywood Reporter's editorial director. The competition will consist of 10 episodes, one more than the first season of the series, and will also release a trailer later in the year. There was a teaser video. We don't need to watch it. Doesn't involve any dialogue whatsoever. It's just noises and the, you know, like Squid Game costumes.
Yeah, just visuals.
Now, people kind of were like, well, it doesn't have any murder in it, so it's not really like a big deal, which is true, right? Like, it is just a competition show. There are a lot of competition shows, and Netflix is not a sanctum of art, right? Like, the Netflix has no obligation, nor has it ever said its mission is to protect art or uplift the art that comes out of it. Nor that it is even interested in producing art in the first place.
Right.
Obviously, I'm not trying to discount shows that get made, Netflix movies, etc., but like, that is not Netflix's purpose. Netflix's purpose is to get subscribers
and
do whatever it possibly can to get subscribers. And this obviously is a huge draw. Squid Game was a huge draw. It was a memeable draw.
That was the biggest thing.
It spawned countless knockoffs.
Stranger
Mr. Beast's Squid Game thing was like one of the most talked about YouTube things of a very long time. Generated a lot of press and
like
a lot of controversy.
Something
wild. I'm probably not a billion, but you know what I mean. So yeah, actually look that up.
I want to know. Completely avoided it like a plague. But
so like, yeah, it makes sense that this was going to happen, right? Like, I completely, obviously, 100% saw this coming.
God, it has 258 million views.
So
yeah,
a lot.
Not a billion.
Quarter
but
of a billion.
That's a lot. Within
quite a bit.
Literally the last 6 months. That's pretty impressive.
Huge numbers.
Yeah.
So Netflix obviously sees that there is a lot of potential here. 250 million is nothing to scoff at, right? Like, it is a huge number, even for a platform like YouTube, which generates millions of views in advertising dollars every day. And famously, Netflix has been in the news edging people, saying they're thinking of adding ads to the service.
Password
they're bleeding
sharing.
Subscribers. They're restricting password sharing. They're obviously in the business of making money. And I would just imagine if they were to add advertisements and simultaneously add subscribers through this game show, that's a lot of potential revenue that they're
absolutely.
Even if it's like $4 million on the line. And we also don't know where the $4 million is coming from, which is something that I think people don't often realize about reality television. World of Wonder and VH1 often are getting the RuPaul's Drag Race competition money. Like, this year it's being, well, for season 14, it was furnished by Cash App, right?
Like, explicitly.
In past years, they've had like water companies, they've like I'm not like water. I'm thinking of or, like Absolute. Also, yeah. Top Chef
sparkling water.
Top Chef's prize money is from Pellegrino. Like the common thing on network TV is usually you have a sponsor and the sponsor forks over the cash.
And usually the amount of money given out is actually like a smaller or half of the full chunk of money being given.
Well, no,
given
the
for
whole money gets given, but you just don't get.
Well, no, what I mean is like, if, oh, yes. So for like, at least in Drag Race specifically, what I have heard multiple times is that the 100K is actually 200K given to the network and that half of that is split into the, competition.
Yes,
money.
But also we know a lot of that being gets given paid by a to brand. Taxes. And
oh, that too.
If you win this Squid Game thing, you're not getting $4 million. You're getting a significantly smaller sum.
4.56 million, you're probably getting at best two. Out of
after
it.
Taxes
after taxes yeah, yes at best
and there's a lot of different taxes for on television shows when you get prize money. It's considered gambling money. That's how it's classified under
it's
U.S. tax
like
code
or something.
And so that is also just a much higher tax
and this
rate
is a worldwide
general.
competition. They're getting people from all over the world, so depending on where they win and how that goes down, they'll be interested to
so
see.
You know, again, it's not surprising, but what is interesting to me about this and what the real story here is that, you know, Netflix famously just laid off a bunch of people. And we just went through an entire press cycle about those layoffs, who was targeted in those layoffs, how those layoffs were handled, especially when Netflix's vertical, which was, Tudum, yes, which is the noise that the Netflix logo makes. They had hired like specifically women of color from different outlets and poached them to do that job. And then they were among the first people to get laid off when the website was shuttered.
Yep.
You know, they were like, look at this inclusive website that we are building.
Yeah, riding the wave of like 2020, 2021.
They had
like,
verticals dedicated like specifically to like black creators. Yep. And
well,
like,
same with all the shows they even brought. Like they brought all these international shows.
They had,
shows from
I think
different
it's
countries.
Called Most was their LGBTQ creators platform. Where it was like LGBTQ content. I know that that's where the we like to watch or like queens like to watch thing that
like
the drag queens do.
Watch
but or... also they do it in the UK. I think there was stuff that I think the Vivian and Baga did a few as well.
Oh, probably, yeah.
But yeah, that's like where they you know, they had all their separate verticals, right? And those people got laid off and, you know, we still see the people, the content they were producing get put out, just not the people who were hosting, having the podcasts, writing the verticals, you know, doing the marketing on the ground, like drumming up the beat. Like one of the people who was basically responsible for the Heartstopper marketing and its success was like one of the first people laid off as well.
Heartstopper
was like a gay high school like romance that everyone fell in love with.
Yeah.
You know the famous saying on Twitter, "This is my Heartstopper." Like people were saying that for a while. You might not have seen it because I know you hate gay people, but like. Like, it was a thing for a moment, and our listeners will back me up on this. The person who was behind that was tweeting about how, like, I single-handedly, like, got eyes on that, on Heartstopper for Netflix. Yeah. And I, you know, was doing all, like, the on-the-ground marketing for it, and, like, they just said, fuck it, and laid me off.
Well, yeah, there's so many TV shows, independent projects that were given, like, one season or two seasons, had great ratings, great responses, you know, diverse teams, like, definitely not mainstream content. All of those, so many of those were cut just out of nowhere during this
and
budget
so,
cut.
You know,
just then
to
apparently
it's
make
very
some,
interesting
some
to
room
me,
for this.
Of course, and this was not a unique idea. This was, like, a thing that a lot of people said on Twitter yesterday, was that, like, it's very interesting that Netflix so publicly lays off its workforce who brings its content to the masses, because the reality is Netflix produces garbage, and the fact that people watch Netflix at all
99% of it is trash
because of people talking about it, and frequently people who work at Netflix talking about what is being put out, because like the majority of people in this world watched Friends or Avatar The Last Airbender.
I was gonna say
maybe like a CW show that premiered 30 years ago.
I was gonna
say,
like,
not watching the things that Netflix is currently producing.
Netflix sustains itself on lots of like licensed content that's already been shot and filmed or has been around for a while. The only like original content that they've ever been able to draw people in and make subscriptions off of is literally Orange is New Black and Stranger Things and Squid Game. That is it. That is literally it. And you can see the timeline. Orange is New Black, Stranger Things, Squid Game, then Stranger Things again, now Squid Game again, because they have nothing else. And they're just going to keep repeating, rinse and repeat. They have like nothing. It's like three or four shows that actually are that popular.
And so, you know, this is not surprising that Netflix did this. Like I said, the writing was on the wall that they were going to continue to cannibalize the Squid Game property. And again, I'm not even trying to like defend its sanctity or whatever. I could fucking care less what happens with Squid Game. But I think it is very interesting. You know, obviously the optics of a game show in which people murder each other to escape poverty gets turned into a real life game show with some similar kind of marketing vibes while also laying off half your workforce. It felt like to save money in a troubling time for the network when you're going to drop this much money, even if it's not yours, the fact that you are flaunting the largest game show prize in human history. It's just all disgusting to me. And I think, again, it shows that, like we said before, Netflix is not interested in producing anything of value. It's not interested in producing art. It's not interested in the sanctity of movies or television or acting or anything. It is purely there to meet investor demands based on subscriptions and product placement. That is literally all it exists as.
You know, they are going to fully launch vigorously that password sharing crackdown the second that that show premieres.
I would like to come back to that. That's
exactly what's going to happen. Because that is some good
timing. Let's put a pin in that. I know, I was going to say, Ashlyn, could you put a pin in that? But Ashlyn's not here and we are flying blind. So we will try to think of that ourselves.
We'll remember.
When the time comes. I'll remember it.
5 minutes later, I'll forget.
So we also have this Joker news.
No, that's listen. This week
already
turned
me into the Joker.
Yeah, like this is really what it is. This is the turning point.
Lady Gaga is in talks to star as Harley Quinn in the sequel to Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, in which it will also be a musical.
That it was like Joker 2, gunshot, like musical, three more gunshots, Lady Gaga, the fucking machine gun to the face. Like, we cannot rest.
This is from The Hollywood Reporter. Lady Gaga is in early talks to star opposite Joaquin Phoenix and director Todd Phillips' sequel to Joker, the 2019 Oscar-winning $1 billion Warner Bros. Hit based on the DC character. Phillips has been co-writing the script with Joker co-writer Scott Silver for some time and has finally shown it to the studio. Last week, Phillips revealed on social media that the name of the project, Joker Folie à Deux, I can't speak French.
Folie à deux.
Oui, I need a baguette for my dîner pâté.
Joker, peri peri baguette.
The title referencing a medical term for an identical or similar mental disorder. Oh God, that affects two or more individuals,
bring
usually
on Gaga.
Members of the same family. And while the same social little monster, put your paws up. So usually members of the same family. And while the same social media post showed Joaquin Phoenix reading the script, the actor's involvement is not exactly a legal fait accompli just yet. Sources tell Hollywood Reporter that Warner has yet to close a deal with Lady Gaga, with the two sides deep in it. The outlet also says that she'll portray Harley Quinn if the deal goes through, which would solidify the film as existing in a wholly separate universe from Margot Robbie's portrayal of the iconic Suicide Squad character. The Hollywood Reporter also tells everyone that the movie is going to be a musical, which makes somewhat sense if you think about the fact that Todd Phillips produced A Star Is Born alongside Joker producer Bradley Cooper. So
what?
Yes.
Bradley Cooper was the producer for Joker?
One of the producers. He was like on the producing team, which is what you do when you reach Bradley Cooper's caliber in Hollywood.
It just
becomes that thing where you just produce everything. So it makes sense that he was the producer on
this
it.
This is so dark-sided. This is so dark-sided. And then they'll franchise it to a musical so Gaga can get her Tony and EGOT and be done.
If this is how Gaga EGOTs, this is how we still win.
It's giving Spider-Man 2 too many Spider-Mans. Like,
did you see the Twitter post? And this is just a hate crime. And people just continually just fucking commit hate crimes against this person. Did you see that tweet that was like, Jennifer Lopez is close to EGOTing. She just needs to win an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. I was like, why did you have to go there? Like, why did you have to do that to her? She was just minding her business. Like,
like really, now why am I in it? Like,
so we will also never escape the slap news cycle. Just to make that clear, you all will
be. This is the culture war. This is another tenet. It's Pizzagate. It's QAnon. It's everything.
You all will never escape this.
Hillary Clinton's emails. I wish we were talking about that at this point. Like,
so Tyler Perry, Will Smith, quote, couldn't believe what he did after the Oscar slap. During a wide-ranging conversation with Gayle King as part of the Tribeca Film Festival's director series in New York City Monday, Perry, 52, addressed the shocking moment and the immediate aftermath. I'm getting this from People. Perry, who could be seen talking to Smith after the incident, had this to say, quote, there's a difference between comforting and de-escalating. That's number one. And I left to get Chris to make sure he was okay. Being friends with both of them has been very difficult. Trust me, as painful as it was for all of us in the room, it was painful for Chris, who is a peer champion for the way he handled it. But I want you to understand that something happened that was extremely painful for Will as well. That is no excuse. He was completely wrong for what he did. But something triggered him. That is so out of everything he is. Perry also said the outburst was, quote, wrong in no uncertain terms, and I made sure I said that to Will, and I can't... And I tell you, when we walked over to him, he was devastated. He couldn't believe what happened. He couldn't believe he did it. I'm looking at this man in his eyes going, what are you doing? This is your night. And to get all the way to this moment, winning an Oscar, that was one of the crowning moments of his career that he wanted so desperately, and have something like that happen, I think very much in reflection of trying to figure out what happened, because what I'll tell you is just reading his book, and there's this moment about not being able to protect his mother as a child. I know that feeling. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. And I know that feeling of being a man and thinking about the little boy. And if that trauma is not dealt with the right way, as you get older, it will show up in the most inappropriate, most horrible time. I know Will. I know him well. Well, we don't know Will Smith, so we're going to stop talking about this now, but thank you for contributing to the discourse, Tyler Perry. Have a nice day. So, you have this Erica Jane news. Can you just, like,
it just doesn't stop.
Briefly let me know what's going on?
Yeah, sure. We'll do the drive-by real quick. So, Erica Jane's being asked. I'm getting this from The Sun, by the way, so you know. Anyway.
Consider the source.
Consider the source.
Matthew enables The Sun. You're enabling a tabloid that promotes conspiracy theories.
Now,
how
don't
are
bring
you?
Bring up Daily Mail. Go a day without bringing up Daily Mail. Exactly. So Erica Jane's being asked to hand over a pair of $1.4 million diamond earrings from her ex, Tom Girardi, in a bankruptcy lawsuit filed by the trustee for his law firm. But Erica claims she's struggling financially and may have to hand them over to pay back taxes.
Wait, I'm sorry. Just really quickly, breaking news. Beanie Feldstein is departing Funny Girl on Broadway on September 25th.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news. Beanie Feldstein has been fired from Funny Girl. I don't know if it's fired, but it is still funny. Continue.
It's stop breaking, the presses.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Famous person who can't sing, who was hired purely on nepotism
so
purposes.
So justice has been served.
Has been served in the case of Beanie Feldstein. Let's continue.
Well, unfortunately, there's no justice here. So Erica claims she's struggling financially and may have to hand them over the $1.4 million diamond earrings to pay back taxes, as she has been dealt with yet another blow by her latest bill. According to a letter from the Franchise Tax Board and viewed by The Sun, she allegedly owes more than $2.5 million from 2011 to 2013 for her company EG Global, which is currently suspended. It is unclear if she owes taxes for the years 2013 to 2019. However, in a declaration filed on Tuesday night, she claimed that in late May of this year, her business manager received another income tax due notice bill from the California Franchise Tax Board, which states that she owes the $2.2 million taxes as well for 2019. I don't know where she wrote this. I guess it might have been the declaration she filed. She says, quote, I'm in the midst of trying to figure out the basis of this tax bill with the assistance of my business manager, who is also an accountant. I do not have the ability to pay the FTB tax bill. I also do not know if the FTB is claiming any sort of lien on my assets, which include the diamond earrings.
I'm broke. I'm just a poor baby broke girl. I can't pay my taxes.
Now, bringing in the worst man on Twitter, attorney Ronald Richards, who
now, why is he in women's business again?
Always.
Tell me that.
Who reported, who formerly represented Chapter 7 trustee Alyssa Miller and is the creditor in the estate, told The Sun, because of course he will, she says she just received the FTB tax bill in May 2022. Of course, if EJ updates EG Global and files returns, this will grow. EG omits from her declaration that she already personally participated in tax audit for the prior years. He added that the full amount she owes is now more than $5.37 million. which Richard describes as a staggering sum. So, with all this, this is again from Sun. Despite her financial woes, Erica has claimed in an episode of Beverly Hills that she will not let her $40,000 a month glam team go, explaining there are certain things you don't downsize on. But in court documents, she alleges her only assets are her personal belongings, including jewelry, and her income from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She also wrote, quote, I also have miscellaneous sponsorship income related to appearances or endorsement of products. Now, this is the part where I was blindsided. Also, in the past year, I've been trying to start a business related to hair extensions. Have we seen that at all in the show? Did I miss something? When did she start doing hair extensions? Where is she showing up and getting sponsorship deals?
Also? Matt, I showed you that photo.
Sorry. I misunderstood what you were saying. You're not saying, since when did she start using hair extensions? No. You started. Remember that photo I showed you?
Where she walked out of Watch What
with
Happens
a full
just
clip
week.
In, just struggling
those
for
those are the
dear
hair
life.
Extensions that she's trying to sell, mama. Oh,
she can't
luck.
Even blend them right. No.
But, like, also
I didn't know
sponsorship
she was doing.
Income, appearances, and endorsements.
I know she had the Shoe Dazzle. Is it Shoe Dazzle?
Was she doing Shoe Dazzle?
What's that fucking
I guess she was
shoe
doing Fenty.
Subscriptions? No. She had that shoe subscription service. Don't even look it up. It's really not important. But there's like a shoe subscription service.
I think it's Shoe Dazzle.
Anyway, she had one of those collections with one of those like things that also Love Island contestants get, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
Like, where it's like, oh, hey, reality TV star, do you want to do a collection? And it's just clothes they already designed and they're just putting Erica's name on it. It's like a licensing deal, really, if anything.
Well, unfortunately. I mean,
how successful are you really?
And how much money is that really making? So this is the thing also I completely, I don't know if she mentioned this recently, I forgot about. So court papers detail that Tom bought Erica those earrings, the ones that are worth $1.4 million, in approximately 2004 or 2005 as a gift, but they were stolen around a year later. Interesting. She alleges that their family home was ransacked while they were out for dinner one evening, and she had left the earrings in a crystal container in her bathroom. The earrings, which are purchased from M&M Jewelers for a reported $750,000, are now worth approximately $1.4 million. Erica claims that the earrings were stolen, they had not been insured, so Tom replaced them with a replica pair, adding, quote, I had no reason to doubt or question the source of the funds used to buy the earrings. She explained in late 2021, she heard for the first time from the trustee in the bankruptcy case for Tom's law firm, Girardi Keys, who alleges the earrings were bought with the money from the client trustee account. She says, quote, at all times, I have been willing to put the earrings in an escrow until a final court order is issued regarding who is entitled to the earrings. In fact, based on an agreement with the trustee, the earrings are currently held in a safe deposit box to which the trustee has access. I agree that the earrings may be held in the safe deposit box until such time as there is a final judicial determination as to the ownership of the earrings. So this is the first time also that she has actually mentioned that something was purchased with client funds, which I think is really interesting because she has basically completely avoided and obfuscated that possibility for like the last 2 years at this point, or I guess last year. Yikey. When the tax board is coming for $5 million, you in danger, girl. Like, there's no way you're getting out of that. Lawsuits?
Maybe she
are
should
one
go
thing,
on Chucky season 2 and fake her own death.
Sutton would not allow her. She'd be like, get that woman off.
No, Sutton would lock her in the room with Chucky at this point. Like, oh, I would love to see Jennifer Tilly get into a fist fight with Erica Jane. Now, we have like a
on
very
demand pay-per-view now. I will pay.
I have a very brief news update from the Real Housewives front lines. Joe Gorga, a man famous for never paying his bills and basically forging every business document he's ever made and lying, scamming, shrimping, stealing, and scrimping.
I can't tap Ashley and be like, is that a word?
Scrimp. Yes, yeah, scrimp and save, right?
Scrump?
Scrimp. Be thrifty or parsimonious. Economize.
Now we have to... Siri, define first... What was that? The fuck?
Scrimp.
No, I know scrimp, but...
Gerund or present participle. Scrimping. Be thrifty or parsimonious.
You're right about that.
Economize. I have scrimped and saved to get you a good education.
Okay, now what did Joe Gorga do?
Joe Gorga has now been caught on video screaming at one of his tenants.
Oh, lovely. He's a landlord? Of course he is.
Of course he is.
Well, he doesn't make any money, so of course the next viable career path for him is to be a landlord. A job famous for basically being a broke person who lives off the backs of others. So,
I mean, scammers, landlords? I mean,
TMZ has this video. The story doesn't really matter. The guy lost his job because of COVID. He basically went on a COVID relief plan. Joe got money from the government because of it. Oh. So Joe got paid.
Oh.
Now Joe's saying the guy's not paying. The guy's accusing Joe of harassing him. It's kind of back and forth. I really don't care because the man doesn't really need to pay the rent anyways because Joe Gorga is allegedly a famous person. Why do you need this guy's money, huh?
Why? Because you got the fucking PPP or whatever, like rent relief money.
Also, Joe.
Fuck off.
You have a house, don't you? Why do you need the rent? Why do you need the rent, Joe?
Maybe he does need the money.
That's what I'm saying, though. Again, you let me live here. I don't need to pay you the money. You let me live here. Why do I need to pay you rent?
You're talking a little loud, Joan. The landlords might be outside the door listening.
So let's watch this video. It's kind of a much. Oh my God. Come on. Why is the TMZ video player the worst?
Loser. Grab it. Where is it? Hey, where's the sledgehammer, Joe?
4 fucking years. Don't get it. My building.
I paid you.
No fucking rent.
The state,
fucking loser.
The state paid you.
4 fucking years.
The state paid you.
Nowhere to live, and I fucking gave no,
you
no fucking
the
house.
State paid you. You got paid. I'm losing. Go grab the sledgehammer.
You're a fucking loser.
Yeah, grab the sledgehammer.
You're a fucking
keep
loser.
Keep coming to do this to me.
You fucking
this is what you...
just, it goes on like that.
Did Joe say, I have nowhere to live?
Yeah. No, he says you had nowhere to live. I let you live here. I didn't make you pay the. And the guy's like, you had the money, Joe. You got the money from the government. I don't know why you're yelling at me. Like, you got paid.
Take me to court. Getting a sledgehammer out of
also,
the parking lot is,
okay,
not the
can
best
I just
thing to
say,
do.
The number of landlords in the Real Housewives subreddit when I was like first saw this story breaking on TMZ.
Oh no, were they on Joe's side?
They were all like, it's so rude. It's like Joe needs the money. It's his place. Like, he's giving you that place to live. Like, it's your duty as a renter to pay your rent. Like, it's unforgivable not to pay your rent. I'm like, oh, eat shit, you losers. Like, go fucking buy more I Made It Nice embroidered pillows off of fucking Shein, you fucking losers.
You
like, get the fuck out of here.
2014 on that fucking Reddit page sometimes.
You'll never, 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 ever forget,
the
by
Etsy
the way,
shops are fucking
that
flourishing
the most
that
commented on blog I ever did for Jezebel was a joke I made about Dax Shepard coming out as a landlord.
Oh,
in
yeah.
which I said that
like,
being a landlord should
you?
Be illegal.
How dare
Matt,
you?
The engagement on it, like, I asked them to shut the comments down because it was getting too much. People were literally emailing my job about it because I joked about landlords. Literally, Matt, somebody did a whole podcast episode about it. Some financial advisor emailed me to be like, I just want to make it clear that you said that landlords shouldn't exist. And I was like, yeah, read Marx. And I sent him the passage from Capital about landlords that I was referencing. And he got so mad at me and he made a whole fucking podcast episode about it for his financial advisor, like, seminar about how, you know, we don't respect landlords enough anymore. Most commented on blog I ever did. I still got emails about it like 2 years later.
Like, this woman thinks you can just rent without paying or stealing from the landlord.
People?
We are struggling. People, we are we can't work. We have to be a landlord.
I actually
That's my
do
favorite
need to,
argument.
I need to see Dax Shepard.
Oh God, girl, I hope they archived off Jezebel.
Comes
the trauma.
Out as landlord.
Comes up first, I'm sure.
Sorry, no. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard outed as landlords.
By you.
415 comments.
Jesus fucking Christ.
None of them good. None of them good. None of them were good.
You would think you personally had taken that
I
side,
literally got
put
jumped.
A knife to
like,
the neck and were like, give me all your fucking money.
The way I had those people in those comment sections pressed.
And that's how you know they're all scammers. Because you're like outing them on the scam. That's why they're mad.
Literally, those commenters had me in a chokehold on a daily basis. Like, they would not let me live at that website. I'm so glad I don't work there anymore.
As I always say, if you are renting, you don't. If you can't pay your rent, you can lose everything. If you're a landlord and they ain't paying you rent, you can just keep leasing out or sell the building and walk away. It's not that hard. Do it all the time.
If you ever side with a landlord, just walk in front of a Mack truck at this point. Like, what else am I to say? Like, just go do literally anything other than talk to me, because I certainly will not agree with you. If we start our conversation or debate in which I need to convince you that landlords are bad, we're not having a debate. You don't exist. I just snap my fingers, you're gone.
And you know, I know we need to go, but we can also add Airbnb hosts to this list.
The
little minions.
Just because you gentrified the concept of a landlord does not make you not a landlord. Like,
when those bitches were like on the Airbnb host Reddit board admitting that the COVID cleaning fee is them just putting Lysol on everything and charging like $450 for a stay.
Oh, no.
Choke and die.
I mean, you would think it would be a feat of actual superhuman intelligence to somehow be stupider than the average landlord, but Airbnb hosts just get on the internet constantly and just admit crimes.
Well, think about it. It's just like being They're a landlord like, and oh, renting, yeah, but times 100. Like,
no, the Airbnb host Reddit. Yeah, like you said, there was an entire post that we were talking about amongst our listeners about how they were like talking about the cleaning fee. And so many people were like, oh, you mean the rag and bucket I use, the quote unquote cleaning fee?
Oh, yeah. Now that we have to use Lysol, because before
they're
there was
like
even a rule against
they're like, I have to buy the Lysol. But it's like, you know, COVID rules were that you had to hire a professional
crew. But they're also
crew, and they're
still
like,
giving.
Professional crew. Yeah, me and my dirty rag. Like,
and meanwhile, they like give you a full list of chores on how to clean the entire property.
I had to stay in an Airbnb that none of us in the Airbnb had paid for a wedding, which good, right? However, there was a fucking list of chores that included washing all of the sheets and comforters, washing the towels, doing all the laundry, vacuuming, taking out all the garbage.
Oh,
I did the dishes and I washed the towels.
What's the point?
I wiped everything down because I was just like, at that point, I was just like, I don't want to fucking hear from these people. But like, dude,
I'll maybe rip the sheets off.
Yeah, if you're like,
I'll flush the toilet.
If you're like, just bring your sheet to the laundry room.
I'll take my stuff out of the fridge.
Like, if like condense all the towels and sheets in the laundry room just
like,
to make it easier.
That's fine.
Like everything, because sometimes it might not be clear that you used it. So it's like, if you use towels and sheets, like put it in the laundry room so we know what was dirty, right?
Yeah,
like
sure.
That makes sense to me. Put the dishes in the dishwasher. That's like basic human decency. Don't leave your garbage in the sink because
flies,
I'm not
gonna trash the place.
Yeah, but like if you want me to vacuum
and wipe the counters down.
If you want me to literally dust your baseboards, like, wrong person, babe. Like,
there was somebody on Discord who was like staying at an Airbnb where it was a similar situation. There's a whole list of laundry things to do, and the cleaning fee was like $400 for the week stay. And they literally just messaged the landlord saying, yeah, I think there might be some confusion here because you gave me this list of chores to, but you're charging a cleaning fee. Either we'll clean and you can waive the cleaning fee, or we'll just not follow this list. Like, give them the ultimatum, honestly. Like, don't do it. It's ridiculous. You're already gonna be paying that fee.
Yeah.
So why not just not fucking do it?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Anyways,
girls.
That's all we've got.
Yes. Time to go.
I guess.
I don't know how to do the outro anymore because you change it every time and it's completely unpredictable. And I feel scared and confused.
That's the fun of it. Three, two, one.
Hi, my name is
Megan McCain, and I have a deep-rooted trauma because my dad is dead and he's no longer here, and so I just spew all my vitriolic bullshit out into the American public, because if everything isn't about me, then I will literally collapse dead.
Period.
Goodbye.
Done. Yes.
Come on, you know the words. Let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Ooh.